Okay, hi everyone. So as Dr. Chalbera mentioned, this study was done at the University of Southern California during my master's program, and my professor is actually here. We actually conducted this study in the Asian Indian population. So these are social and cultural factors related to mammography in that particular population in both the Los Angeles and San Diego counties. And we did this in partnership with SAATH USA, which is an organization that works with the South Asian community afflicted with cancer. So they look at not only community outreach, but they provide them with photo novellas and workshops to talk to them about not only their particular experience, but experiences with their family members. And my co-authors, Anna Gilmore, Jennifer Kotluski, and Zul Sarani couldn't be here, but Zul Sarani was our gateway to SAATH USA. So to give you a brief overview of what I'll be talking about today, I just want to give a background of the population that we'll be talking about, a community assessment, the population overview, and the health issue, the specific aims, the data collection methods, the key findings, the limitations, and the conclusions. The Asian Indian community in Southern California usually consists of a median age about 32 years of age, and the average household size is about 3 people per household, with about 12% of the population below the federal poverty line. And 72% of this population speaks a language other than English at home, with the predominant language being Hindi. And it's a relatively diverse community. Most of these populations tend to congregate at religious centers such as temples, gurudwaras, and mosques, and commercial and cultural centers such as the one where we interviewed the participants in Artesia and Long Beach and also in San Diego. So just to give you a population comparison of California versus India, the incidence in India is about 19.1 women per 100,000 per year that are diagnosed with breast cancer, versus in California it's 66.6 per 100,000 women per year that are diagnosed with breast cancer, and these are Asian Indian women. So if you are to take the relative risk in California, 3.5 times, it is 3.5 more times likely that an Asian Indian woman will get breast cancer than a woman in India. This, of course, could be due to the fact that screening rates are a lot higher here versus in India. And again, of course, access to care in India is a lot harder to get rather than in America. So there could be definitely a huge bias due to that. And of course, that number could technically be almost comparable to the one in California. So I wanted to show you just the population growth of the South Asian community, which has been relatively, it's been rising since the 1990s, which is when they started to break the South Asian community from the Asian and Pacific Islander community. And so South Asians consist of Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, and Sri Lankans. And as you can see, the population at the end of 2006 was about 50 million South Asian individuals. And then if we go ahead and look at the breast cancer trends in Los Angeles by race and ethnicity, you'll notice that the South Asian community had about 80 per 100,000 individuals that were afflicted by breast cancer or with breast cancer at the end of 2006, and it's been steadily plateauing. So hopefully we can get that number down. So aims of assessment of our particular study were just to look into the beliefs of the community health concerns and also to look into the health behaviors that translated with these health concerns. And then also just to look into the cultural issues with perceived susceptibility and barriers, factors influencing the perceptions, and then attitudes towards mammography. So our survey design was pretty much modeled by the UCLA California Health Interview Survey, and all of our interviews were conducted by our investigators with the cultural relevance and validity checked by personnel by SAATH, and then they were conducted in both English and Hindi according to how the participants preferred to conduct the surveys, and the questions were a mix of both qualitative and quantitative questions. We began with qualitative questions, so they were open-ended questions, more general questions about their health concerns, and then leading into more of the breast cancer and mammography questions, so it wasn't uncomfortable right from the beginning. We didn't only ask about just women's health concerns. We also asked about men's health concerns, so that way they were getting, we were getting more of a global understanding of what they believed was their general health concerns in their community. And then in terms of the quantitative questions, we used a Likert scale, with one being strongly disagree to, or sorry, strongly agree to five being strongly disagree. And so the sampling frame was actually during the Hindu festival called Diwali, and actually that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And it's the it's known as the Festival of Lights, and it's pretty much good versus evil, good winning over evil type of a religious holiday. So it's not the best time frame to speak about fatality. And although the target population was in one place at one time and it was a convenient sample, limitations of course included that there was a selection bias in terms of not only religious preference, but of course in terms of the women that were able to afford the fee to come to the events, and also if they were physically and mentally capable to come and celebrate at these events. And of course, the environment was definitely chaotic. It was really fun, but at the same time, it was difficult to obtain privacy. There were times when we would, you know, have women talking to us, and others would come in and interject or talk to them. So it was definitely a little bit difficult in terms of obtaining the privacy that we needed. So our study population consisted of 27 self-identified Asian Indian women, with the age ranges being from 40 to 63 years of age. And all of these women were immigrants, and they were all very highly educated. All of them had a bachelor's degree, and 52% had a graduate degree. And they had relatively high incomes. Three-fourths of the sample had an income higher than $70,000 per year. And so, as you can see, this group was definitely biased as well. So they did not represent, we had done a lot of literature search, and they did not represent the population that was being hit with this disparity in particular. So some of these key findings may not align with what we had found in the literature. And so the community health concerns that we found from this population were that they mentioned that the women needed to see a doctor was a huge thing. So a lot of Indian women tend to avoid going to the doctor because they put their family first. And so I think a lot of them recognize that, and they mentioned that women do need to go in to see a doctor. And diabetes was also tied for first. Breast cancer and osteoporosis were the number two concern, and that was about four individuals out of 27 that said that breast cancer was a problem. So again, as I mentioned, since this was a highly educated population, they might not be seeing this disparity in their particular demographic area. So we also wanted to talk to them about social networks and if their family and friends were supporting their decision to go get a mammogram, and also just if, you know, they were making their own medical decisions versus if somebody else in their family was helping them make these decisions. So as you can see, 100% of the individuals said that their friends and family were supporting them to go and get a mammogram. And in terms of medical decisions, 85% of those individuals made those decisions with their spouses or with family members. And four of them made health decisions alone. So, as I had mentioned, we also asked them about some of their cultural issues, cultural factors, and we had asked about herbal medicine because it's actually pretty prevalent in the Indian community. And so we wanted to see if they use herbal medicine versus allopathic medicine, which one they prefer more. And we had asked how fluent they were in English. And so, as you notice, I had mentioned the Likert scale, and so those that were a bit more fluent in English were neutral on using either herbal versus allopathic medicine, and then those that were a bit less fluent in English were more likely to use herbal medicine versus allopathic medicine, and then self-care reflects the same way, with those being fluent in English being less likely to do self-care versus those that are less fluent are more likely to do self-care. In terms of fatality, all of the women said that they did not believe that women were fated to get breast cancer. They believed that it was a biological reasoning. And again, as I said, the population was very highly educated, so they must have, you know, the reasoning why their opinion must have been that way must have been due to the, you know, their education. And then efficacy of the mammogram, 88% of the women said that they believed in the preventive and diagnostic success of the mammogram. Of course, there's room for improvement. We would want 100% of them saying that it's effective. And then 74% of them knew someone with cancer. So 20 of the 27 women knew someone with cancer, with 15 of them saying that they knew someone that was a friend that had cancer, versus 5 saying that a family member had cancer. And 55% of the women mentioned that they were uncomfortable seeing a male physician for breast diagnostic purposes or getting a screening done for breast cancer. So again, if we wanted to culturally tailor an intervention, it might be wise to have a female physician or a female PA go ahead and look into doing the diagnostic measures for this population. The limitations of this particular study were that it is a taboo and sensitive topic. So during our particular sampling time frame, it was challenging to bring it up with this population. Cancer is, of course, not discussed at these types of religious events, and female interviewers were a key point for this particular study. And the male interviewer that we did have, unfortunately, didn't have success with completing a survey. So that's why we were sure that maybe it was better if the females ended up doing the surveys. And the length of the survey was about 8 pages in length, with 20 minutes being the average time. So it could have been that during Diwali, they're celebrating, it's a little bit more challenging for them to sit down and talk to us for this amount of time. So we were unable to maybe get more individuals than we needed. And then language barriers, of course, not all of us were present at the same time in various places, so not all of us could offer Hindi surveys, and translation was not always available. So in conclusion, the implications that we would want to make from this study would be that we would want to see further studies done with the patterns of screening compliance in Asian Indian women. And then, of course, this was a relatively small sample, so there were relevance of outliers and hidden disparities. And potential interventions would include importance of cultural tailoring. Of course, we would want to say that this was focused on more of the social and cultural factors, so we would want to look into more of the epidemiological and biological research in conjunction with the cultural and behavior studies. And then, of course, community asset mapping would be a great way to look into some of the ways to intervene with this population by utilizing the already existing resources. And then I would like to acknowledge my professors, Dr. Vaiskande Garvanati, who's in the audience right now, Dr. Becker, Cindy Lomeli, who was our TA during the course, Dr. Bhatt for translating the documents into Hindi, Ms. Dravid for the personnel from South who checked our survey instruments, and then South was our partner, and Maharashtra Mandal and Sri Mandir were where we found our participants. And so thank you, and I'll take any questions. Sure. Okay. Okay, so we actually asked questions about both the female and the male population. So what the question was phrased, what are the community health concerns in the male population in your community? And then what are the community health concerns in the female population in your community? And it was open-ended, so they could answer it with multiple answers or they could answer it with one. So if you notice, if you add up all of the individuals, it wouldn't add up to 27. It could add up to a bit more than that. So. It was just female interviewed, but we wanted to ask them about the male, just about the males as well, so we weren't just cornering them into asking just about them. So we asked about the male community health concerns, and then we eased into just their particular concerns. So.
So I think this is a big cultural concern among the populations in the way that we sort of promote health promotion behaviors and all of that. Bring your mother and all that. So I was wondering if maybe in future work.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's key because emphasizing, I guess, the family is always definitely a way to reach them, because they obviously will put their family first, and I think you make a good point. So, yeah, we're definitely going to do that.
Another way that they're doing the Hispanic population, specifically in New York, is using the shorter network. So mm-hmm. if you talk to one woman, can you bring five of your friends about, mm-hmm. talk about mammography, or who have now had it. So they reach out in their group, and those five reach out in their group. And
yeah. Yeah, social networks is a great way. All right. Thank you.